and welcome to the AHGB Beef and Lamb podcast. This month, Joseph Keating chats to our strategic finisher farmer, Phil Kent, following his launch meeting about why he wanted to join the project and the improvements he's been making to his finishing system.
I'm Joseph Keating. I work for AHGB, and we're here today with Phil Kent. We're just after finishing up on our strategic farm open event here down in Cornwall. Phil is one of our 12 strategic farms, and he's working mainly on the finishing side. So firstly, I'd like to thank you for the event today, and in terms of the feedback, how do you think it went?
Yeah, I think it went pretty well, really. Hopefully we've got our point across as to what we've been trying to achieve and the direction we're going in.
So in terms of what you're doing here, can you just give a bit of a background overview to your business?
Yeah, so the farm business itself, I'm in a partnership with my aunt and uncle, Claire and Mike Parnell. I joined the partnership 11 years ago. From then we've always been lambing 1,000 sheep, split between February and November. We've moved that considerably each year and ended up lambing outside from 2016 onwards. And so far as the beef's gone, we've got rid of our suckler herd and moved to buying dairy cross beef calves, which has grown year on year, taking some through to finishing and selling some as reared calves. And now taking a change and moving them back towards a grass-based system on the same sort of track as the sheep and away from cereal.
So we've just done a year of the programme. I suppose if you kind of think back, what were the main reasons you decided to join the programme and what were you looking for in terms of your business? So you kind of said you've moved your sheep on a lot. Was that kind of something you wanted to reflect on your beef side?
Yeah, just we seemed like we were going in the either direction, really. The sheep were heading as far down the forage route as possible, and the cattle were pretty much concentrate fed at grass. So yeah, we wanted to bring the cattle alongside the same sort of system as the sheep, and also try and use the cattle as a bit of a tool, I suppose, within the sheep business as well as a standalone strain of the business, really, I suppose.
So probably integrate them a bit more.
Get them working together on the parasite side of things and just try and reduce the costs but still have the output.
Okay, so then in terms of the calf rearing enterprise, can you just talk us through that? So what kind of calf do you usually go for, and what are you trying to do?
We've been rearing blue cross dairy calves, up that number each year. So we've reared sort of 210 a year until this year, where we've done 280. We've moved them to selling most of those as reared calves and keeping a few back for ourselves just to still keep stock numbers up. And then last year, 12 months ago, we bought our first batch of native breed cattle, so Herefords and Devons, to run on a grass-based system alongside the sheep. Blues, the last blues being in the shed now, probably that'll be it for us running on, but we'll still keep the calves going as a sale item, really.
Okay, so what, in terms of the blues then, you've kind of gone to the natives, but what's some of the decisions behind that? What are you finding that maybe it's what you see as the challenges maybe with those blue continental cattle?
The blue, we just can't get it to do on grass. It's got to have concentrate, which then means up to now we have been feeding twice a day at grass, which is obviously takes a lot of labour. And also you've got troughs lying around all over your fields, you're making scar patches, you're reducing your grass growth. So just moving away from that cereal based animal to an animal that can actually make the most of our grass and do well off it, really.
So in terms of your cereal, how much do you reckon you feed your blue crosses in terms of?
Blue crosses from a calf through to finish would take in the region of 2 tonne of concentrate.
Okay, and then what are you hoping? I know you've just started with the natives, so I suppose it's still coming through the chain, but where would your target be roughly with those in comparison?
I said we'd be around the 400 kilo
okay
mark.
So obviously that
roughly is, yeah, as you say, it's early days, but I would have said around the 400 kilo mark, so a remarkable difference and a large proportion of cost out of that system, really.
Okay, so in terms of kind of the calves then, I suppose just some of the things you mentioned today was a bit on the calf management and some of the changes you made. So kind of what are the few little things you've done in the last year just trying to improve those calf as you buy them in?
We've a couple of things, really. I suppose we started feeding chopped wheat straw as opposed to just raw body straw in front of them. We're putting that in the tub in the pen, which has helped increase intakes. And we've upped our milk concentration. So rather than feeding 500 grams of milk powder per day, we've gone up to 600. With that, when we drop down to once a day feeding at 3 litres, normally we have dropped down the milk concentration so they'd only have 3 litres worth of powder, whereas now they'll have the 4 litres worth of powder in 3 litres just to try and get the most of that early growth. The conversion rate's good.
And how have you found that in terms of the performance then in the animals? Like kind of so that bit of straw and up in the milk powder.
The growth rates have come up as a result. We weren't as probably our weigh-in would have been slightly better to give a better angle on it, but in general, there's certainly around 100 grams difference in the at the end of the calf rearing period.
So in terms of, you kind of mentioned weighing there, in terms of, obviously, you, what's your kind of routine when it comes to the weighing? What's the plan you hope? I know it isn't always necessarily easy to keep to it, but what's your aims around that side of the thing?
The calves get weighed off the trailer, and then they get weighed again at around 4 weeks later, where they have their second bravoxin or vaccination. So we'll weigh them then. Then they'll be weighed again, hopefully at weaning, and again when they go out the shed at 12 weeks. It's just getting into that cycle, but if we can get that, then we'll get a better idea of where we can improve our system to get the most of those growth rates.
So in terms of the weighing then, do you feed that through? Do you try and maintain that over there? So it's kind of intervals when they're finally at the rearing stage versus the finishing stage. What are you looking at when it comes to weighing? How often were you hoping to...
Through the growing stage, we're trying to weigh once a month. When we get to the finishing stage, if we can, every 2 weeks, logistics side of it, but if we can...
It's easier said than done sometimes.
Yeah, obviously there's pinch points with labour and other jobs at certain times of year, but we seem to have kept it within a five-week bracket this year, and it's certainly helped us, and we've been able to tweak feeding to adjust that when the growth rates have perhaps dropped off, especially this year due to the drought.
Well, even in terms of that, have you noticed differences, kind of, other than just animal performance necessarily on individuals? Have you noticed anything else from the weighing in terms of your fields and how they perform? And
yeah, so two batches of the native calves this year. One were on a rotation with white clover in the blend. Another group were on a field that we had sprayed for weeds, so the white clover had gone. And there was around 100 grams daily live weight gain difference between the two batches.
So yeah. just again, that's just showing you the difference in the fields.
Just the difference of not having that clover there, and also it could come back to trace elements. It just highlight those fields that aren't growing stock as well as they could.
So kind of coming back then, looking at that, kind of obviously the clover element and grassland. You mentioned you really want to get more out of your grass. So what are you kind of looking, what have you looked at over the last year? What do you kind of hope to do and improve with on some of your grassland?
Looking at our soil nutrients and trying to enhance that better. So one of our issues is phosphate. So we're targeting that phosphate with our fertilisers, not buying potash because we don't need it. Those levels are all pretty good. But our phosphates are a real issue, so we're working at the moment with our fertiliser supplier to get a NP compound with a good amount of phosphate in there, so that rather than just giving a maintenance amount, we can start to build our indexes up. And just improve on that slowly year on year, rather than having that big outlay in 1 year to try and bring it all right in one hit.
So you mentioned today you've tried to start a bit more on rotational grazing, especially on your beef side. How has that gone for you in the last few months?
Reasonably well, up until the drought kicked in. We did have to pull some off rotations, and some we fed on their rotations. We've certainly grown more grass as a result, and due to the fast growth in the spring, we baled a lot of silage off the rotations, which gave us a big buffer when it did turn really dry. So, it's worked well considering the year we've had.
Yeah. So in terms of the last year, what do you think is... Because it's easy... Sometimes, not that you want to focus on everything that's went according to plan, but what were the big kind of lessons from this year that, the drought has been a big challenge. So even on the rotational grazing, it has its limits. But did you even find that's helped you manage the drought better?
Oh, yes. Yeah, definitely. You saw it coming quicker, and it gave you a chance, rather than feeding stock silage once they've run out of grass, they had a chance to transition onto it. So it just stretched out those last few paddocks a bit further. Just took us a bit further into it before we started having to really feed hard.
Yeah. So I suppose if we're looking ahead for the next few months, and we hope to have another open meeting maybe in a year's time, what are kind of the key areas you feel like you need to focus on for the next 12 months?
Our grass measuring needs to improve, and just recording that data that little bit better and making better use of it. By doing that, I'd like to think we can bring our growth rates up at grass. And just sharpen up on it, really have a better rotation going, have a bit more of a scientific approach to the grazing system and make more of it. I think we were doing reasonably well in the spring, but there was plenty of room for improvement.
So I suppose if we look, because obviously this programme is a part of a 2-year programme, which isn't necessarily long on a beef enterprise. Where would you like to be in, you know, the next 5 years in terms of your business, both beef and sheep overall? What are you looking, what's your main aims?
I'm supposed to make profit. I suppose it's a very difficult question at the moment, isn't it? Our main drive is to drive our production costs down as much as possible. And also, we're continuing to grow, whether we're growing in our own area that we've got and producing more off the farm or expanding, whichever way we go. But yeah, just fine-tuning what we've got and trying to have a simple, well-run business, I suppose.
And I suppose we can, on the last thing, one of your priorities when you signed up to the programme was actually the work-life balance.
Yeah.
Because I think that was something that was important to you. Can you explain why? Like, what was that? What was your thinking?
I got 3 kids at home and just spending enough time with them before they decided they don't actually want to spend any time with their dad. It's a difficult one because farming the way it is and farmers the way they are, that the farm side of it generally comes before anything else. And I suppose I'm very conscious of how fast the kids are growing up and just want to make sure I make the most of that.
So, yeah, so a good priority for you is to have that balance, yeah. That, you know, and in terms of, you know, farming, and especially this year, it has been challenging. We've had the drought and, you know, I know one of the reasons you said you didn't want to do any more grassland measuring because you didn't want to be told how much it's not growing. But I suppose how do you, that's a challenge I think for all farmers, is the pressure of the job. I think sometimes we don't talk about it enough. So how do you find the family is a good way of kind of just getting away, clearing your head sometimes, or?
Yeah, definitely. Going off and watching the kids playing sports and I suppose having a different outlook on it, that most of the time you can't change what's being thrown at you. It's generally the weather or prices with farming. And rather than dwell on that, just look at the positives, I suppose. I mean, I said to somebody the other day, this summer has meant it's been a terrible year farming wise and so far as the drought goes. We've spent more evenings at the beach with the kids and in the water than we have done for years. So it's, yeah, that certainly helped, having that time in the evenings when you spent all day feeding stuff and walking around the farm with no grass to relax in the sea with the kids was...
enjoy some of the important stuff as well.
Yeah.
Okay, well, thanks very much, Phil. We'll finish there. We'll hope to rerun another open meeting in a year's time, just to see how much further we're gone.
Yeah.
But all I want to do is to thank Phil for today, for his event and for taking part in our quick chat.
For more information about our Strategic Farm Network and to book onto our autumn events around the country, visit beefandlamb.ahgb.org.uk. Thanks for listening.